You'd imagine if a 22-year-old woman from London, an Oxford-educated student, went to a small fishing town to study it for a master's degree in social anthropology, that she might be regarded as a little off-limits and that she herself might be a bit standoffish, observing it all from a safely distanced academic perspective. Well, not Lamorna Ash. She fully embraced life in the Cornish town of Newlyn in the UK. And she's now written a book about the experience, a book which the peerless William Dalrymple says marks the birth of a new star of non-fiction. It is beautifully written. It's called Dark Salt Clear. And I welcomed Lamorna from early morning London.
Thank you so much.
Newlyn has a quite spectacular claim to fame, doesn't it? The largest number of fishing boats in the UK.
It does, yes. And then its other claim to fame, which I think its residents are even more proud of, is that it was voted Britain's second toughest pub, which I think is quite something because Britain has a lot of very tough pubs. And there's an amazing YouTube footage of Newlyn fishermen in the pub kicking out a Frenchman for daring to turn up in their pub.
I was going to raise Brexit later. They voted very much to leave, didn't they?
They did, yes. And that was the year that I came was the year after the vote. And what I found really interesting was that I don't think I'd thought about Brexit in terms of single policies, but they voted as a community because they were certain that then they would get their rights back to the waters. So they'd suddenly get British waters where other European boats wouldn't be able to come in and fish. Mm. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. So I think, as so often happens, they were sort of brought in by politicians saying, you know, we'll give you all this. And yet those promises haven't been delivered.
Do they not like Europeans, just thinking of that poor Frenchman? Or is that just too simplistic?
I think that's potentially too simplistic. Maybe what they are is incredibly competitive. So any other boats that are out in the water, there's a real sense of you're taking our fish. It's not like farming where you have distinct fields. In fishing, it's sort of every boat for themselves. And I think that competition, they harbour a lot of distrust for other boats from other countries who have different laws and different kind of quotas for fish.
Mm. Look, we'll come to the fact that all is not well, I'm afraid, in the fishing industry, as you've alluded to. But maybe you could first just give us a visual picture, if you would, please, of Newlyn.
Sure. Newlyn it's a really special place to me now, and it's somewhere I've thought about a lot during lockdown when I haven't been able to travel. Newlyn is right near the very end of Cornwall, so it's in the West Penwith, which is sort of the final peninsula part of Cornwall. You come to it by a train that goes all the way from London. It's the very last stop on the line. And when you get to Newlyn, you're looking out at the sea. It's not a beautiful town. There's a massive market that's concrete and takes up a lot of the space. There's this huge port of different boats. Most of them are old and clunking and rusty. Then you sort of travel up along the coast, and then beyond Newlyn, you come to a smaller fishing village called Mousel that is picturesque and exactly as you'd expect a fishing village to look. And yet, that's not where the people are. That tends to be a place occupied by tourists, rented out. They're all holiday homes. Newlyn has life to it. It has 5 pubs all within walking distance. There are people constantly on the street who are kind of calling out to each other to say hello. There's people dragging boxes of crabs and fish about the place. So it's noisy and it's smelly and it feels incredibly real.
But it's real. And population, how much?
About 4,000 or 5,000 if you couple it with Penzance as well.
And so you chose it for a couple of reasons. One is you had a sentimental attachment to the region, or perhaps sentimental is not the right word, because it's really quite interesting, this attachment of yours. Is it deeper than that?
It is. So my name is Lamorna, which is a cove. It's about an hour's walk from Newlyn, maybe a little bit longer. And my mum is from Cornwall. She grew up in Cornwall, as did her mother and her grandmother. And we do have this whole Cornish family tracking back. But I think growing up in London and wanting to differentiate myself from other people, I think I used to say that I was Cornish because my mother was, and because for her, Cornwall, it means so much to her. She has this really emotional connection to the place and kind of this nostalgia for her childhood there. And then as soon as I got to Cornwall, I had a very stark realization that, oh my God, you're not at all Cornish. And Cornish people were very quick to tell me that. You're a Londoner. You've got this funny, smart accent. And I knew nothing of Cornwall. My version of Cornwall was the Easter holiday and summer holiday Cornwall, where you go down and it's sort of this perfected image of it. And I didn't think about industry. I was a kid. I didn't really think about what it would mean to be Cornish. So it was this abrupt awakening of turning up in Cornwall and saying, well, I love this place, but this is definitely not my place.
Was that a small regret that you had to face that admirably in yourself?
I suppose a little bit, I think. And I see my book in a way of, as a coming of age book. And I think that a lot of coming of age narratives, it's seeking roots or seeking some kind of place in which to position yourself or to gain a better sense of identity. So I think that there was a moment maybe of hurt of being like, oh, this isn't it either. I don't get to be from here. But then I think later that felt like a relief. My friend said to me, and this is my friend Isaac, who is one of the people that the book is dedicated to. His father is a fisherman in Newlyn. He was talking about the way that as we get older, we learn to say goodbye more gracefully to places and people. So it's not kind of shutting this place off and I'll never get to see it again. Mm. And I think I learned to greet places more gracefully as well, rather than saying, okay, I'm going to be here and I'm going to be here forever. I'm going to make this mine. It was recognizing, well, you can get to know places and they can become equivalent to a friend, but you don't get to own them and you don't get to sort of stake your identity in them because they are so much bigger than that. And I think rather than that being upsetting, that was a bit of a relief to me.
Oh, how maturity you're getting. That's very impressive. But your reason for your academic interest, Lamorna, is that Cornwall represents a particular slice of contemporary Britain, pro-Brexit, anti-European, although we can debate that, I suppose, lower than average incomes, and some quite disturbing things like the third highest suicide rate. So this is not a place that's thriving, is it?
It's difficult because there's a real mixture and I'm kind of loath to paint a purely negative portrait because there's brilliant things coming out of Newlyn now. Like there's a lot of younger fishermen still going into the industry. And though there is definitely a decline in the number of boats because fishing is becoming less profitable and there's more and more sort of stringent quotas, there's changes in fish population and things like that as well. But then, yeah, exactly, there is this darker side to it as well. And I don't think what attracted me, I think, was not that. I don't think I recognised that there was going to be a darker side to things because I had this sort of storybook version of Cornwall. But yeah, certainly the suicide rate, there's high levels of alcoholism, there's drug addiction in Penzance. So you could feel this sort of darkness. But at the same time, and I think I was constantly tussling with this while writing, that darkness is always on a knife edge with kind of communal joy and humour. This community that looks out for each other, and though people do struggle and though people die at sea far more often than I expected, they hold each other close too and they look out for each other. So it's kind of always both those sides going.
Yes, it's like a sort of case study in a non-urban sensibility in a sense. I mean, it is the only county in the UK poor enough to qualify for EU emergency funding. And it had an average wage 17% below the rest of the country. So they're pretty stark figures. You talk about wanting to show the limits of close community as well as its benefits. I thought that was an interesting remark.
Well, I think we spent a lot of time trying to draw these big contrasts between city and countryside and kind of city and sort of smaller town. And certainly things like in smaller communities, you're not meeting people from different backgrounds very frequently at all. And so then sometimes there's a slight mistrust of people who are not like you. And suddenly that felt like a problem. And I suppose, yeah, that limit of everyone's politics look the same. But at the same time, in London, I exist in an echo chamber, despite it being multicultural, like my politics are probably linked to those of my friends as well. So I think it was really important to kind of prevent myself from thinking, well, everyone in towns are like this and they're going to be completely different to me, because there were also a lot of parallels and lines between us and I had a lot to learn from them.
Mm. Look, I've just got to help listeners understand. You were pretty game for this right from the start. Would you tell us, please, Lamorna, about the call you got from Denise, your prospective landlady, while you were studying in the red and plush interior, well, sort of austere interiors of the British Library?
So I decided on Newlyn, and I'd asked about, I think, over email, if there were any spare rooms going. And I got a call from Denise, and her main questions for me were, if I liked drinking, if I minded smoking, and if I liked cats. And I thought, well, this is a perfect fit because I love drinking, I love cats, and I'm indifferent to smoking. And as soon as I got there, they were the most incredible couple. I feel very lucky to have met them, because Denise, she worked in the fishmongers as well. And Lofty worked sort of with equipment, so things like lifeboats and ropes. So they both knew everyone in the town, and they would sort of propel me about the town and say, this is Lamorna, she's studying fishing, can you take her out on your boat? So they provided me with this access to go out to sea and to try going out on all these different vessels to try and build up my thesis of how fishing shaped community.
Well, indeed, you badly want to go out in a fishing boat, but there was no guarantee you'd be able to.
Yeah, my supervisors at University College London, where I was studying, had said, yeah, people don't get to go out on those boats. They're very protective, and they don't want sort of strangers observing what's going on in their boats. But I was surprised that actually in Newlyn, and I think the reason why fishermen are so up for having people coming out on their boats is because it provides a sort of spark of variation. It's quite fun that there's a young girl throwing up, well, hopefully not throwing up all over your boat, but getting seasick and being like, oh my God, about every aspect of what for them feels so mundane and normal. So I got to go out on two trawlers. I was on a trawler for 5 days and then another trawler for 8 days. Sleeping in a cabin, me and the four other guys on the boat, spending our days gutting every kind of fish that would come up in the trawler, watching TV together.
Had you ever done that before?
No, nothing like that. And potentially that's why I was quite so sort of able to bound in, because I didn't really have a sense of what it would be like. I'm not a very good, I would say I don't look before I leap. As a person. And I thought, this sounds quite exciting. So I got my sleeping bag, my bag of wellies, and a couple of jumpers, and sort of clambered on board, and then asked Don, who was the skipper of the Philadelphia, which was the trawler I spent 8 days on. The boat I'd been on prior to that had Wi-Fi. So I said to Don, oh, what's the Wi-Fi, by the way? And he looked at me like I came from another planet. I was like, we don't have Wi-Fi. And I was like, oh my God, because we'd already got far enough away from the land that I couldn't let my parents know that I was going out for 8 days, or any of my friends. And there's that sense of, oh my God, we're really gone now, and you're just going to have to go in and bear it and see what happens.
Did you get seasick?
I did. I was lucky. I only got seasick for one night. And there's this sign of seasickness when you start yawning, and all the men were kind of saying, oh, here we go, you're off. And I think I remember feeling terrible. I was trying to chop carrots and be helpful with dinner, and then went to the toilet, threw up for a while, came back, and I was actually fine for the rest of the trip, which I was quite relieved about. And it was interesting. There was loads of theories about seasickness among the fishermen. I'd spend a lot of time in the pubs interviewing fishermen and kind of finding out all different aspects of fishing. And one fisherman said to me, Kyle, who was actually on the Philadelphia trawler with me, he said that his cousin and him, they never got seasick. And some of the older men would get seasick. But then as soon as his cousin had his first child, he started becoming seasick. And so there was this slight sense of, is seasickness related to your relationship with the land? If you've got less tying you to the land, maybe you don't get seasick as much. And whether or not that's true, I thought that was, it made me think a lot about what connects you to the land and that fear of being pulled away from it.
Well, look, all of this is just insights galore in beautiful writing. So congratulations for your 3.5 months at Newlyn. You certainly made a lot of it. Thank you, Lamorna Ash, very much indeed.
Thank you so much.
And Lamorna Ash is the author of Dark Salt Clear, Life in a Cornish Fishing Town, and it's published by Bloomsbury in the UK.